time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Yeah, I'm moving on with my career and my life, and I'm continuing to stand on my innocence. Just because, you know, settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty for anything. I feel like a person has the opportunity to stand on his innocence and prove that, and we prove that on the legal side, and we're just going to continue to push forward as an individual and as a person.
All right, 11 games, $5 million, and an awkward press conference later.
God, dude.
Deshaun Watson will begin his suspension August 30th. He can't come back to the facility until October, and then, of course, he's able to play December 4th here in Houston. To say the press conference was awkward would be an understatement. The media scrum, Dee Haslam interrupting her husband, Deshaun Watson kind of taking back his apology and then apologizing eventually to the whole world, to anybody that was affected by it. Not
anyone
the women.
Who was triggered.
Anyone who was triggered.
Were you triggered, Vanessa?
It just was an interesting press conference. But this is Vanessa and Gallant after a crazy sports day. We had an Astros game that we'll eventually get to, and there will be a Texans game tonight. But let's start with the big story, Paul. Thoughts on the Deshaun press conference.
First off, happy F Deshaun Day. Freedom from Deshaun. It's
there you
over.
Go.
The suspension's been announced. This is the last day that we have to talk about him before the Texans play the Browns way down the road. So let's all pat ourselves on the back. We're finally through it. I know some people are thinking to themselves, what would ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 be if they weren't talking about Deshaun Watson every single day? Happier.
Yeah, we are an NFL show. There are other NFL teams. And believe it or not, there's going to be some storylines with the Texans.
This press conference, though, Vanessa, was something else. Look, the ruling itself, I think everyone's a little bit disappointed with it. There is a part of me that is happy that Watson will get to play at NRG Stadium against the Texans for that little dramatic week that we'll have leading up to it. And, of course, I think for fans, a chance to boo him, that's always nice. But this press conference yesterday was something else.
The ticket prices, by the way, for that game, whew,
they have gone through the roof. Would you resell your ticket?
If I was a season ticket holder, I don't know that I would resell it because I would want the chance to see Deshaun Watson in action. And look, the Texans have pulled off upsets before. I'm
That's
not
true.
Saying they will, but they have. I would like the chance to see that.
Let's be honest.
Depending on my financial situation, though.
Fair point, because tickets are expensive.
Right.
This is the Texans Super Bowl this season. There's no question about it. Whatever. To the press conference.
Yeah, what stood out to you?
Oh, God, Vanessa, I went down a deep rabbit hole just watching all of the press conferences.
Yes, go to his Twitter, Gallant says.
From Deshaun Watson this offseason. Gallant says, I just tweeted out, from this offseason, nearly 2 minutes worth of Deshaun Watson talking about moving forward. Here are all of the times Deshaun Watson talked about moving forward just yesterday at his press conference. Do we not have that?
Yeah, I don't think we have that.
That's
that
my
queued
fault
up.
On
no,
that.
That's okay. Yep. No, but you can
we
go
have
to
the
his
apology.
Twitter. What'd you say?
We have the apology. Okay, that's fine. Look, he talked a lot and said the same things over and over and over again all offseason. And it has really made me wonder just about, first off, the counsel that he is getting. And also, like, how much faith do these guys have in Deshaun Watson when it comes to his ability to, I don't know, speak? Because whether it's him repeating the same three things in that introductory press conference that he did with the Cleveland Browns, I never disrespected anybody, I never assaulted anybody, I never harassed anybody, or just continuing to say move forward in every single one of these press conferences, or saying that I'm trying to be the best Deshaun Watson that I can be. I mean, my God, they have no faith in the guy, and honestly, I don't really blame him.
The only time that he has apologized is when there is something on the line. And I thought Robert Griffin III, who's on the TV right now, it was great last night on the Thursday edition of Monday Night Football, where he brought up just like, what message does this send when Deshaun is only apologizing? And the NFL seems to be accepting his apology, but then he like takes it back. What stood out to me, oddly enough, like we don't hear from Dee Haslam a lot. We don't hear from the Haslams in general. If Deshaun Watson did nothing wrong, which he has said, like he has maintained his innocence from the very beginning. He said that he didn't assault anybody. He didn't disrespect anybody. But Dee Haslam was insistent on the fact that Deshaun will be getting counseling and that counseling takes a long time.
Oh, man.
She was very passionate about the therapy part of it. Here's Dee Haslam.
And counseling takes time. You don't just go to a counseling session and wake up and understand the impact it has. I think it's a layering effect, and it takes weeks, months, a long time to get to where you understand so much more about yourself. And I think Deshaun has made progress from the time he came here till now. He's making progress, but it's not going to happen overnight. He's 26 years old, and he's just getting into counseling. I think it's going to take some time.
Essentially, Vanessa, the counseling that Dee Haslam is talking about is her way of saying, well, Deshaun Watson's not sorry, even though we released a statement saying that he's remorseful. But through counseling, eventually he will be sorry.
But why does he need counseling if he didn't do anything wrong?
I mean, great question.
It's like Dee Haslam, it's like there were levels to this. It was Deshaun saying he didn't do anything wrong. Jimmy Haslam was kind of in the middle, like, well, you know, whatever. And Dee Haslam's like, low key, yeah, he did, but we're getting him counseling and we hope that he gets better. I mean, it just, the whole thing was very strange to me. Andrew Berry was incredibly awkward, and they didn't do a good job of answering the media's questions.
No.
They will have a team issued masseuse to deal with any soft tissue injuries.
I'm sure that'll go great.
They would not answer whether it was a male or female, but they said that it was a member on staff and that that's what Deshaun will be limited to.
Would you ask for a raise immediately if you're that person on staff?
What do you do? I mean, do you ask for a raise or do you quit? Do you insist on, honestly, probably I would insist on having a camera in the room.
I would too. At the very least, the company itself, Cleveland Browns Incorporated, would be able to look at that, I guess. To make sure nothing was going on that's fishy? Yeah. The difference between Watson's perspective on things, where he's apologizing for triggering people, but not apologizing for anything else, and also saying a million times during the press conference, I stand on my innocence. I stand on it. I didn't know you could stand on innocence. That back and forth, plus the Haslams clearly implying, whether it was Dee right there where he's going through counseling, or it's Jimmy Haslam saying, everyone in America deserves a second chance. Like, they think he did something wrong, and Watson doesn't.
And why did he bring Kareem Hunt into it? Because his exact words were, Kareem Hunt a second chance, and that's worked out well. Like, oh,
sure.
Here's another example of that. Adam Schefter is the one of the people that broke the story. Not originally. That was a random person that works in IT. But Adam Schefter was the first media member on it. Here's Schefty on this situation.
The two sides reached a settlement today that will mean that Deshaun Watson is suspended for 11 games. Mm. He will have to pay a $5 million fine. And what I believe is very important to the National Football League, he will need to get evaluated and get treated to get the help that the NFL think that he needs. And part of that treatment is taking accountability of his behavior. And shortly after the settlement was announced today, Deshaun Watson came out and maintained his innocence and said he stands on his innocence. And I think some people are having a hard time making the two things fit together. But he has to comply with the evaluation and treatment recommendations to be reinstated by the NFL. And if he doesn't, then further action can be taken. He might not be reinstated, and further discipline can be implemented.
Okay, so evaluated. He has to admit to being accountable, and then he has to pass something to be reinstated. I mean, he's not sorry at all. So is he just going to fake his way through it like he did the interview with Aditi Kinkabwala?
Definitely. I wonder what the test would be. Did they hand him like a couple of multiple choice questions? And it says one of them is maybe insert swimsuit model X as your masseuse for the day. What do you do? Behave, 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 don't behave. Just pick one of the three behaves. You'll be fine. I'm curious as to how they're actually evaluated. They feel like he has made progress while there. Okay, sure, you're seeing him firsthand, and he's going to pull, anyone would, an Eddie Haskell routine around you. They're not going to show you their true colors, because their true colors would, of course, involve having a masseuse coming up to them and then them pulling out their penis and putting it in their hand.
Second chances, by the way, we do give second chances in America. Jimmy Haslam is not wrong, but it tends to be to people that fall on the sword. Like Michael Vick fell on the sword. Like when people say, you know what, I genuinely messed up. Here's what I'm going to do to make it up to the community or to try to. I apologize to anybody that I hurt, specifically the victims in this situation. They rehab their image. There's a mea culpa and all of that. And I think that when you take inventory from Deshaun Watson and everything that he said, it just doesn't seem like he's sorry.
100% agree with you. And, you know, when you mentioned second chances too, should athletes get second chances to play a sport when they've done something horrible? And I think some people believe that, yes, they should. But I'm of the belief that the second chance does not necessarily mean, and it should not mean, you get to play a sport again. And
yeah, it's still a privilege, right?
And there's an entitlement about it. Oh, I'm a great athlete. I should be allowed to be a great athlete. I'm sure there's people that want to see you be said great athlete, but like you are just entitled to that because of how talented you are. And I mean, I guess you can make arguments in different fields if you are high enough on the totem pole that, yeah, that actually is the case. I don't know. I don't think it should be that way.
In the end, I think the NFL truly didn't want to go to court. Right.
No,
I
mean,
I think
done.
They wanted this done, and I think that they
move
saw
forward.
This as the way to quote. Yeah, there you go. Full circle to move forward. Coming up, the Astros moving forward after an
Woo!
Unbelievable, historic game, really, for both teams.
Get him a body bag.
Last night. That's coming up.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It's this ball high and deep. If it stays fair, he's got a career high in RBIs. It is a two-run home run for Breggy. What a day for Alex Bregman.
Yeah, if you saw the final score, 21-5, Houston versus Chicago, you might have thought that it was a Bears-Texans game, but that was not the case. This was a baseball game. The Astros with a historic game, and that man in particular, Big Dad Energy, 4-for-6, 2 home runs, 6 RBI, 4 runs for Alex Bregman, as the Astros win 21-5. Sean, you kind of alluded to it that at some point you just like, this game was over.
Yeah, I think it was 3-0, and then the Astros, I want to say, scored 2 more, and I was like, okay, I can tap out here. And then they scored, 16 more runs.
Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable day in Chicago. Historic day.
Murder. Talking about murder.
Chicago, too.
Bundy, yeah, there,
bitch,
hey,
I'm the
of
king
that.
Of moving chickens. You need a swift kick, and your ass is right for the picking. Talking about murder. I know some rap.
Who's that by?
UGK and Bun B. H-Town.
And
what's
you know
up?
It. You know it by heart.
No, I had to look up the
yeah,
lyrics.
I know. I see them. It's okay. We've all done it. 21 runs, which is the second most in team history. 25 hits, which matched the franchise record. You know what's funny is when I read the Chicago papers this morning just to see what they had written, it was historic for Chicago, too. The Sox allowed at least 21 runs for only the 8th time in franchise history. And the first time since 1970. So this was the first time they had allowed 21 runs since 1970.
I'm not going to lie. I know some people, you watch a blowout, you get bored. There's nothing I like more than watching a team that I root for beat the absolute bejesus out of someone. That was awesome yesterday. It really was. And look, we've complained and criticized them a little bit. I'm really hoping, Vanessa, and maybe it will be, maybe it won't. I'm hoping that this is a jumping off point for a lot of the offense. I mean, obviously, Alex Bregman had an awesome, awesome night. 4-for-6, 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, career high, 4 runs. Kyle Tucker had a great night. Chaz Bleeping McCormick had a great night. I mean, the whole lineup hit. And look, I mean, you're not going to do this every single night. But I was looking at what the Yankees were talking about with the struggles they're going through right now. And they were saying, hey, we're looking for a spark. Well, look, I mean, the Astros can also get a spark themselves. And of late, it's been okay. You know, it hasn't been great. Jordan Alvarez has been struggling. And since he's been struggling, like, things had not been very good. But, I mean, a night like this, I mean, this is like MVP-level Alex Bregman that we saw a couple of years ago. And I was so pumped to see him do it against a White Sox team that is supposed to be good.
Especially since, let's face it, with the Astros, the pitching has not been an issue. Defense has been pretty good, but the bats getting going has been occasionally an issue. So it was good to see that. Mancini
minutes.
Is the one that started things off, guys, with the homer.
Hmm.
Do you think he'll be in the lineup a little more?
It's a good question. Sean Mace is shaking his head no. Yeah, I'm with you, Sean.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah, don't. Nah. Dusty will keep being Dusty.
Dusty, I trust now, though, because you know what?
When Dusty, you trust it.
You put a lineup together,
I heard Jeremy say it. Like gotta give the hat
in
tip
Dusty,
to Jeremy.
In Dusty, we trust you, but Jeremy doesn't trust you.
No, he doesn't.
Dusty. No, he doesn't.
He's saying that sarcastically.
Yes.
And I do trust Dusty. Yeah. In complete opposition to maybe everything I've been saying over the last couple of weeks, in Dusty, I trust.
I think he's old school. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work out. But every game Mancini is in, he seems to do
Mancini.
Really well. Mancini. Yeah. I like that. Mancini, like Linguini.
Yeah. Mancini. I see. We could have made it happen. We could.
Yeah,
you could still make it happen.
I tried. Apollo is saying Mancini Mafia. I've heard.
That's racist.
Well,
that's
very racist.
Plays into stereotypes.
It definitely. Yeah, you know what? It definitely does.
Not all Italians are in the Mafia.
So this was fun for the Astros, but the White Sox actually trail the Guardians 2.5 games in the whatever they're in, AL
Central.
Central, thank you. And trail the Twins 1.5 games. So it actually, the games matter in their case. They're still in the running of a very tight division.
They could have swept them in 4 games if not for the 8th innings that they had in game 1 and 2 of that series. And I mean, this is a great way as a jumping off point to go into this weekend series against the Atlanta Braves, who I'm of the belief that everyone here should hate on the same level as the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Really?
You know me. I used to have a segment on my first ever radio show called Haterade. I will find a way to hate
something.
Did
you really?
I did, yes. We ended the show every single day, and I would just go on a rant about something.
Wow, that's not like you at all.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Sean, can you see that? I can't see it.
Wait, so you found something you were angry about and held it in until the last segment, and then you exploded?
Wow.
In rage?
Yes. I'm glad that you added that like last qualifier.
So
in
rage.
Makes me sound like a stallion when you put it like that. I got to say, with the Braves, okay, they've beaten you in what, 3 playoff series before the World Series that they beat you in last year. They were so annoying in the 90s, right? They were the only team that was always on national TV. I don't know how you guys felt in Houston listening in your car right now, being like, hey, this team is on every night. But when I was in Florida, in St. Pete, like, it was just nonstop Braves fans. Like, everyone in the Southeast was a Braves fan for the longest time. So they're like Braves fans and Yankees fans that I went to high school with in St. Pete, Florida. I've never liked the Braves. I did like Andrew Jones. But, I'm excited for this weekend. I hope the Astros get some vengeance.
So it's interesting you say on the same level as the Dodgers and the Yankees, because I never felt like Braves fans came as hard at the Astros and Astros fans as Dodgers and Yankees fans.
That, you know,
I think that may be why they're hated a little less. But should people hate the actual team as much? Yeah, I think you're onto something there.
I think
their fans aren't as annoying.
No,
is essentially
not.
What I'm getting at.
They don't care.
They don't care as much. We got a guy that would like to talk about the Astros. Matt would like to call into Vanessa and Gallant. Matt, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah,
of course.
Last night was sweet, especially coming after that game, too, when the White Sox fans were acting like they won the World Series.
Yeah.
That was extra special last night. And I specifically wanted to talk about the lineup, because that is the lineup that I think a lot of fans have been asking for and wanting to see. And I want to start with Christian Vasquez. It's a shame that that guy only started 1 game of that 4-game series. This is a .289 hitter,
which
is good for second best on the team. I want that guy in my 8-hole, in my 9-hole, because another thing he does that not many guys on the team do is he'll shoot that ball the other way consistently and make pitchers work. And you know what? It's time to have a conversation with Maldonado, because Vasquez should be catching 4 out of the 6 games. And in the playoffs, I want him in there every single night. Chaz McCormick is my center fielder, guys. He's got pop. His OPS is sitting around 750. I think that conversation should be over. Slot him in at center field. And as far as I'm concerned, you're rotating Yordan and Mancini in left field and DH. I really believe that Aledmys Diaz's injury is kind of a blessing in disguise, because it's going to force Dusty's hand to play the guys he should be playing. And when Diaz comes back, if you're going to bench somebody, it should be Jeremy Pena. That guy's got a hole in his swing that he's got to figure out, because the league has him figured out. But I'm excited about where they are, and I'm excited about the lineup last night. Hopefully Dusty runs him out there like that some more. Thanks for taking my call.
Matt, thank you. Matt, that might be one of the most intelligent calls we've ever received.
And please don't take my job.
Yeah.
That was very insightful baseball
good knowledge.
And
what he said about Jeremy Pena was off to a hot start as a rookie. But, yeah, I mean, he struggled as of late.
hopefully last night is a step in the right direction for everybody. I mean, yeah, but God, he's so right about the Vasquez thing. I get it, Maldonado, defense, blah, blah, blah. And I, to a degree, have been probably a little annoying saying like, well, oh, wow, he's like the greatest defensive catcher of all time. But I mean, that's how I feel. And it's about runs in this league. It's about scoring. It's about hitting. My God, the back of the order last night was great. And I'm with him on Chaz McCormick. I do not understand the appeal of Jake Meyers. I don't. Is it his arm?
Yeah, I'm bullish on Chaz.
Yeah. Because Meyers' arm is still recovering from shoulder surgery. And I know that like he had a 99 mile per hour or something like throw from the outfield. But like, defense should not be the end all be all with baseball. I don't know. That's just me. Yes, a run saved by a great defensive play, that helps. But there's only one team in all of the major leagues that's like just completely incompetent defensively, and that's the Boston Red Sox. I don't think if you put some of these guys out there, you're going to look like a little league team every single night.
I loved that call. Matt, that's do you want to be a manager?
Do not take my job. Yeah. Please.
Okay, but Paul alluded to it earlier. The Astros are taking on the Braves this week, and I think that's going to be a game that a lot of people watch, a series a lot of people watch. Will Smith is now on the Astros, former Atlanta Brave. So maybe he'll get
former actor.
See, well, it's been a big year for men named Will Smith. We'll put it that way.
It would suck to be that Will Smith, right?
Like, you got to go by Billy or William.
Yeah, I think so. Especially now, because everyone that sees you is going to be like, Will Smith, right?
But they've
paid you slap Chris Rock.
In fairness, they've been doing that to Will Smith, to anyone named Will Smith for like 25 years, but it was like, gonna fight aliens, huh? I Am Legend, huh? Oh, Fresh Prince, huh?
But at least you would get fun ones like in the like years Hitch. In the past.
Yeah, no, now it's bad. Yeah. Now it's bad. It's like being named OJ.
Yeah.
And for a while it was cool, and then now it's not.
Yeah.
Who's the last OJ? OJ Mayo?
OJ Howard?
Ooh, yeah.
Good one. Okay.
Well, I just think you gotta pull the William or the Billy or the Bill.
I'm with you.
No.
Billy Smith.
Go by the middle name. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, this coach is possibly going to be a good coach, but he is a bad liar. Plus, we're talking about the Texans tonight in Los Angeles. That's next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
All right, the NFL season, we are rolling along 20 days away from the regular season kickoff. Paul, who's your number 20 jersey
There's
number?
Only one. Barry Sanders is the greatest running back in NFL history. It's not close. I get it. Some people like Emmitt Smith. You're probably a Cowboys fan. Some people like Walter Payton. I've watched highlights. He was damn good. Others like Jim Brown. No one is as electric as Barry Sanders. I feel like someone should put together a power hour where you show 1 minute of a Barry Sanders highlight with the replays and stuff afterwards, and then you go on to the next one and the next one and the next one. And I think it would be unbelievable, an unbelievable way to spend 1 hour. No one has ever been that electric. And the best part about the Hard Knocks episode this week was like the 1 minute of being like, oh yeah, Barry Sanders was awesome. Poor Lions. The guy walked away.
I know, and that's the thing. Poor Lions.
He would have shattered Peyton's all-time rushing record, I think.
For number 20, I would have gone with Steve Slayton, former Texans legend.
Yes.
2008, ran for like 1,200 yards.
That's disrespectful. So, I mean, they're basically
the same.
That is
true. He did have that 1 year where he was awesome.
I would say top five running back of all time.
Guys, the Texans do play tonight, by the way. They are in Los Angeles.
It's football time in Houston.
We got to kill that song. They're taking on the Los Angeles Rams now. I say they're going to play the Super Bowl champs. How many of the Super Bowl champs starting lineup will be starting? I don't know. You would think that there's not going to be very many of them.
Probably
I don't think
Stafford.
We're going to see Stafford or Donald or any of those guys, but you never know. Predictions for tonight. We liked what we saw from Damian Pierce. Maybe another good game for Damian Pierce. What say you guys?
I want to run up the score and send a message to the Super Bowl champs. I know it's the preseason. I know no one cares. Whatever. I care. Like Luke Skywalker said that one time. I feel, though, on a serious note, that this is an opportunity for Pierce to say, hey, I need to get a good 5 to 8 touches a game. Otherwise, you know, the big frustration for me right now is that Kenyon Green just seems so far behind the eight ball because of the time he's missed at practice. I hope that he has a good night so that maybe he can move up the depth chart a little bit. But, you know, it's easier said than done, especially when you're managing a guy with a knee injury and right. all the other things he's dealing with right now.
The kind of, I don't want to say it's like an elephant in the room per se, but look, John Mechie is recovering from leukemia and going through treatment for that. Kenyon Green dealt with the injuries that he's dealt with. Derek Stingley Jr., same. So
right, like to the point where you don't even know you want to play him in tonight's game.
So we need to see something from the rookies. And yes, I know it's early on. Yes, I know they're rookies. Yes, I know it's just preseason. But I would like to see something. I trust in Nick Caserio. I'm excited to see what this draft class can do. But it would be nice to say that there's another rookie that we feel really confident in other than just Damian Pierce. I think Derek Stingley Jr. will get there. But like you said, you can only see so much of guys when they're injured.
Yep, I'm with you there. And, you know, I really hope we see Stingley out there. I guess I will believe it when I see
it. Also, coaching storylines. I'm excited to also see, again, Pep Hamilton's offense. Lovie Smith, we're going to see him develop as a coach this time around because he's coached, you know, twice in the NFL as a head coach before. But it's going to be cool to see some of the coaching styles develop, how they handle in-game decisions differently than the last regime.
But, you know, you got to wait till the regular season. Yeah. It's the most frustrating part about the preseason is, like, everyone goes out of their way to say, we're not showing anything because, God forbid, someone has some film on us.
But it only matters for the rookies anyway. I preseason for me, I feel like. I mean, where the hell is Tom Brady? We'll get to that in a second.
That's such a good question. Now it is starting to get weird.
Let's go to somebody that is arguably in his first year as a head coach, the most entertaining coach in the NFL already without having even coached a game. Mike McDaniel was on Le Batard on his podcast and was asked about Tua Tagovailoa and where he stacks up to the other great quarterbacks that Mike McDaniel has worked with in his other 10 years. Here's what Mike had to say.
The skill set's crazy. I mean, the dude is right-handed. You hear me?
Yeah. Yes. Right.
He's right-handed.
Yep.
And he throws lefty.
Yeah.
And when he throws the ball, every lefty I've ever been with, the ball kind of tails like this. I don't know why. It's something with science that I don't try to digest. His does it. It's the most accurate, catchable ball I've ever seen. So for me, in the way I've learned football and some of the stuff that we got really good at in San Francisco was yards after the catch and all of those things, which is maximized by ball placement on these things.
The most accurate catchable ball you've ever seen.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, I highly recommend you look up this clip on Twitter because once Mike McDaniel realized he had said it was the most accurate catchable ball, you heard the hesitation. Are two a non-believer over here?
Hey, listen, he's better than MVP Matt Ryan. He's better than Jimmy Garoppolo. He's better than Mike McDaniel. I watched the entire interview.
Yeah.
He said he's coached. I think Miami's the seventh different team that he's coached. So he's better than what?
That's he like was here in Houston.
A quarter of the NFL start. Yeah, he's better than Matt Schaub.
Yeah, he was here in Houston. He was in Washington. He's been in with the 49ers. I mean, he's been around.
He really has been around. There's a part of me whenever I hear McDaniel, like I think to myself, man, it sounds like he's lit up. Like it sounds like he blazed a little bit before he goes on. But he's been sober since 2016.
Since he lost his job with the Texans for sleeping in, actually.
Yeah.
Gary Kubiak had to give him
That's something else,
but
too.
But it's good that that was his wake-up call. I mean,
imagine how funny it would have been when he had, like, a couple in him.
I don't know.
Not to try to get him off the wagon or anything like that. I just feel like he probably was quite the rascal.
That man is in recovery, okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just thinking about, you know, there's some good times, right? Come on.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
Yes, he is.
But he is no longer with the Patriots. That's
also,
Mac Jones.
Isolate that drop because Vanessa just said
No, absolutely not. She just said it. No.
You said it.
Never. Sometimes we say things we don't mean. You should hear the things that I've said to guys before.
Well, okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Also, hilarious.
Do you believe this Mac Jones spin? You put this article in
here. Yeah. So Mac Jones has been asked a ton about the Patriots coaching situation because right now it's very unclear who the hell is running the offense. And Jones on Wednesday said, I think the coaches have done a good job of just listening to us. But in summation, if you read through the long, long paragraph of a quote that he put out there, in a nutshell, he said, our coaches have a lot of experience and know exactly how to attack a defense. To me, that's BS. I mean, I think those guys know how to be coaches on a coaching staff.
Sure.
I'm sure that they've been around offenses before.
Anybody can coach speak.
Joe Judge was not very good, I believe, in the past when he was a wide receiver coach. And then on top of that, when you take a look at, you know, what Matt Patricia's done, Patricia's a defensive guy. He is. So, look, I sometimes think that we maybe overreact a little bit to the specialization of football coaches out there. But that said, some coaches can, or excuse me, some players can see through a coach and can tell, like, the guy's talking out of his ass. And I bet there's some of that going on in New England right
and
now.
And you always hear the former players that have retired that are like, yeah, we knew. We knew who was full of it and who wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Some NFL news that's breaking about 4 minutes ago. Tom Pelissero tweeted, another coach, a person of importance, I should say, in Washington is in trouble. The NFL has suspended former Washington athletic trainer Ryan Vermilion indefinitely and launched a joint investigation with the NFLPA for providing painkillers to players without a prescription on a number of occasions. The investigation began last October. So now we have women, finances, providing painkillers.
Don't you feel like this is another attempt to misdirect? Like, what
totally.
If this is, what if this is, have you seen The Departed?
Yeah, great okay. movie.
In
a
that,
movie I've actually seen. Congrats to me.
The twist in that movie is that Frank Costello, who is played by Jack Nicholson's character, has been talking to the feds the whole time,
right.
despite being the subject of a police investigation. And I wonder if this is Daniel Snyder continuing to feed information to other people so that they continue to not talk about him. Because, I mean, shoot, we go back in time to, you know, emails, I guess, between John Gruden and, was it Scott McLuhan? I forget. The guy, Bruce Allen. Bruce Allen and John Gruden.
Oh, like, that's right.
I'm pretty sure that was part of the investigation into Washington football team in that situation. And yet Gruden's the one who gets in trouble. Now here's another fall guy that's getting capped in the back
These
of the
guys,
head like he's
listen,
Wallace in The Wire.
Oh, great show.
Look at all the references.
These
making.
Guys might not be great guys. John Gruden, Whoa. This Ryan Vermilion. But guess what? You can be a bad guy and still be a fall guy. They are 100% fall guys for the NFL.
How many fall guys do you think it would be necessary for everyone to forget that Daniel Snyder is like the absolute worst?
Yeah, good question.
How many?
Like, I think the owners all know it, but it's protect the shield, baby. Protect
69?
The shield.
Yeah.
Whoa, nice. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, what is going up with going
What's
on
happening?
With Paul's
What's going on?
Lord and Savior Tom Brady? That's next. That burp almost made it on
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Apparently, I like everybody to know about my gas. So before we left the last break, I said...
That was Vanessa.
No, it wasn't. I almost burped in the last segment. And as I was backing away from the microphone, I went, oh, that burp almost made it on air. But apparently that did go over air.
Yeah,
so
it went over the air, yeah.
Congratulations to me and my burp. Congratulations to Tom Brady. That guy has missed training camp.
Huh?
Yeah, for the first time really ever. Theories are running wild on the internet. And at first, like, I'm going to be honest, my theory was plastic surgery. Because there's no way that somebody
that's
looks...
outrageous and salacious.
It is not outrageous. He looks so good and his forehead doesn't move. So I thought that maybe Tom Brady was getting plastic surgery.
He's built
which
different.
He, listen,
he's
at his age, he wants to look a certain way. He's married to a model. I don't know. So I thought that maybe
he
was like
he
hair plants, nose tweak. I don't know.
Do you think he would need hair plants though? Because I feel like his hairline is actually
I'm just saying
fine
something
right
that would take a week and a half-ish.
What do you think if you had to guess at this point?
Eyelids.
Ooh.
Your eyelids can age. Maybe a tweak to...
What do they do to the eyelids?
I don't know. They just make them look younger.
Okay. I would. That makes sense.
I know this is going to shock you, but I'm not a plastic surgery guru. I'm just saying Tom Brady has had a lot of... You know, it looks like he's had a lot of work done.
He looks very different from the way that he looked when he was
his
a rookie in the NFL.
His face is so much thinner,
no
and
denying.
That happens a little bit with age, your
his
face
His butt
thin.
Chin's gone, too. Like, he had
yeah,
a
exactly.
big butt
exactly.
chin when
Which
he was
Which is
a
another plastic surgery you can get.
Yeah, the face, like, morph from his headshot, NFL headshots from the entire year
yeah.
only proves it. Like,
Correct.
It always gets, like, posted by, like, the NFL account being like, look how long he's been playing. But all I can think about is, like, they're just outing this man for his plastic surgery
100%.
Use.
100%. And whoever does it signs an NDA and never talks about it, and it's
whoever
never
gotten
Whoever
does it's
out.
An artist and should advertise their services.
Right.
Like, holy crap, this person's one of the greatest facial...
goddesses?
Architects of all time. Yeah. I mean, shoot. He's like Michael Bleepinangelo.
Yeah.
Leonardo Brady da Vinci. Looks good.
But here's the thing. Todd Bowles has only made it worse because do you guys remember initially?
Yeah.
It was that it would be 10 days and that it was pre-planned and had nothing to do with his family or whatever. Okay, if it's pre-planned, fine. But now as things have inched closer and it's been over that time, you have like Chris Sims and other people saying in the media that no Tom Brady. Look, we don't know what it is, but he's never missed this. It must be semi-serious. There have been a myriad of different theories. One is that he's on The Masked Singer. This comes from Lindsay Ock on Twitter. Listen, the filming dates line up with his absence.
Oh.
He perhaps committed to being on it when he was retired. And then unretired, but had signed a contract. Lastly, signed a deal with Fox to broadcast after retirement, and The Masked Singer is on Fox. Could it be that Tom Brady is filming on The Masked Singer?
I believe it. That's very well laid out.
Yeah, I know. I'm convinced.
That's hilarious, too, if he's missing time for The Masked Singer. I hope it's true.
But the other theory is that there's trouble in paradise.
There's another theory?
When you go through Instagram posts of he and Giselle, they are no longer saying te amo or whatever that they used to say to I love each other.
Yeah.
How do you say
te amo? Authentic Mexican right there.
No.
Classic
it's
Vanessa.
I
thought that was like LMAO. Oh. I thought it was some sort of
how do you say it?
Acronym.
Te amo?
Te amo.
Te amo. They're no longer saying.
No, that sounded like Italian.
Te amo, mi amor. Wait. It is Italian, isn't it?
Portuguese.
I think it could be.
I don't know. But they used to be really...
Actually, that's true. You know what? That's in Spanish. I Portuguese, you're right.
To be really, really like lovey-dovey on Instagram. And the past few Instagram posts have not been lovey-dovey.
Oh.
Her birthday message to Tom Brady, which was not that long ago, said, and I quote, "Happy birthday to one of the most focused, disciplined, and fashionable person I know. Tom Brady, you are so loved, and we are always cheering for you and wishing you all the most wonderful things
in life."
Sounds
like a nice message.
It's a far cry from the
what?
It's usually lovey-dovey.
Te-amo.
Te-amo.
Te-amo. that's going
forward. Te-amo from Tear Hope.
Yeah. I hate it.
I don't know. That's a bit more of a jump, I think. Now, maybe there are things going on behind the scenes that we don't know about.
Well, because remember, he was on the podcast that said she was mad that he was taking so much time away from the family.
Understandable. But I think reading into that message, I think it's a nice message that she wrote about her husband.
Yeah.
I mean, if she said nothing at all, then I would be like, uh-oh, okay, well, what's going on here? But that's like a thoughtful message that she wanted to put out. And I think there's a little lovey-dovey to it, too.
Maybe they hit the seven-year itch. I don't know. I have a hard time believing those two would get divorced because if you're Giselle and you divorce Tom Brady, you can't do better. And if you're Tom Brady and you divorce Giselle, you can't do better. It's not possible.
I disagree with that on the latter.
Wait, you think Tom Brady could do better than Giselle?
Tom Brady's like, what? Tom Brady
Wait.
Is the best looking like athlete that's ever existed.
Hold on. You think Tom Brady can do better than Giselle?
Yes.
What's better than Giselle? Who is better than Giselle?
The next Giselle.
Money-wise? So you're saying she's old?
No, but I'm saying that there are younger models who are
attractive. Oh, but she makes more money than him.
That's true.
And she's been arguably just as successful in her industry as he has been.
I totally agree with you.
And she's beautiful.
She is.
And she birthed his children, two of them at least.
That's true, too.
Rest in peace, Bridget Moynihan. She didn't die. She just got left. So you think he could do better than Giselle?
Look, he's Tom Brady. He could probably, if he really wanted to, date whoever he wanted.
Okay, so who's better? I need an example.
Ana de Armas, who may or may not have been dating one of his old friends, Ben Affleck, back in the day.
I would date Ben Affleck. I get that.
I would date Ana de Armas. But you would date a person with like a man with a back tattoo.
Yeah.
I think you're alone on that one, Paul, with the naming younger models. That's also disrespectful.
Thank you.
Whatever. I mean,
also
it's ageist.
Speaking for all the men out there, like that's definitely something that people have thought about, right? Like I'm not saying it's right, but like guys tend to go after younger women.
I can't wait for in 6 months when Giselle's dating Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
That is BDE. What is happening? What is going on with Tom Brady?
I don't know. What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. He's got it. He can do what he wants.
Okay, but with all seriousness, is this an indication that his passion has dipped? Is this an indication that he's getting a little bit tired?
I mean, I think so, yes.
Think that he's actually like Father Time is kind of catching up with him?
This is the thing that you should worry about with Tom Brady. It's not the injuries catching up to him and Father Time and his shoulder all of a sudden stopping to work. It's like, is he the psycho that, you know, when we were doing a draft of quarterback traits that you want, is he still the guy who is that dedicated, that prepared, always focused? Because, like, no one's been on his level. You know, Peyton Manning, I think you could make a strong argument for. But, like, it's just been, as far as the actual work he puts in, I don't think Manning had to put as much work into being the quarterback he did as Brady did into putting, you know, into doing what he did. Brady was a 6th-round pick. Manning was the first overall pick and, you know, the son of a former NFL quarterback. So, again, I'm not disrespecting what Manning did as a quarterback. Like, there's no doubt, like, he knew what he was doing. But I think that everyone talks about when it comes to, like, psychopathic workers, like, it's Michael Jordan, it's Tom Brady. Like, these are the two best ever.
Tiger Woods is on that. Muhammad Ali. There's some people that you just know are insane, which is one of the personality traits I like in my quarterbacks. We've talked a lot about apologies, guys, and we'll get to more on Deshaun Watson's non-apology in the next segment. Let's get to an example of a good apology. Cardinals receiver Hollywood Brown was arrested for speeding earlier this month, 126 miles an hour.
It's nuts to go.
It was
fast.
Insane. It was dangerous. He put himself and a lot of people's lives in danger, but he did have a press conference and said, quote, I want to learn from it. I'm not a guy who gets into trouble, so I want to put it in my past and make sure I'm always doing the right things. I have a lot of kids that look up to me, so I want to set the right examples at all times. Good apology.
I thought it was funny at first to say, like, I hope I learn from this. It is kind of funny just to think about, like, yeah, I shouldn't drive 126 miles per hour. You shouldn't have to learn that.
Right.
Right? I mean, I don't know. It's not a smart idea to do, especially when you're a high-profile individual. I don't know. Maybe if you're some random guy who's, like, driving a souped-up Honda Accord that has a spoiler on it or something like that, maybe you can get away with driving 120 miles per hour because everyone's going to be like, oh, I just feel bad for him. I'm not going to pull him over. Am I going to get any money from him if I give him a ticket too? Nah. In this situation, though, you know, maybe he's trying out for the next Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah, Mike Florio wrote, at least he didn't say he wants to put it in his rearview mirror. Did it? But I thought it was a good apology. I thought it was an example of somebody taking accountability and
moving forward.
And moving, yeah, well.
Because that's what I want to do. I want to move forward because moving forward would allow me to move forward with my life and my career. Because moving forward helps me move forward into the future, which is forward.
They so clearly had Deshaun meet with the PR consultant.
They
right?
gave him flashcards.
I mean, they gave they
I mean,
gave
I'm just surprised
like,
he didn't like pull them up at the press conference and be like, oh, yeah, forward, move forward. We're moving forward into moving forward.
Yeah, there's something going on there. It's weird. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're gonna dive more into the Deshaun Watson situation. The wildest parts of the press conferences to us, our takeaways, and what we realistically think Deshaun can do to change, if he will at all. That's next.
This is ESPN 97.5.